Blog Talk Radio.
Alive, and I am so excited because I am alive another day to experience all of the goodness of life. I want to welcome guest 2005 to the chat. I tell you, life is amazing. I had a couple of close calls this morning. First, I think I wasn't going to have my guests on. Then we're going to have the guests on. Then a lot of technical things were happening. But you know something? God is always in control. And we are having Dr. Caldera. For those of you who have been getting my tweets, realize that this morning that I changed it, that we were going to talk about wealth and success because of some technical situations, I did not get her information. Up until the wee hours of the morning when I waited for it, she sent it to a different email and on and on and on. But you know something? Through all of that, we sorted out and she's going to be with us this morning. So we are up for a wonderful treat. And I want to encourage you to get your pads and pens because there will be a lot of information for you to write down this morning, because we as entrepreneurs, we need to understand the importance of wealth, what wealth means. And as you will discover this morning, wealth is not about money only. Wealth has to do with health, nutrition, success, and it encompasses spirituality. It encompasses a whole realm of things. So sit back, relax. This morning episode is going to be a very dynamic and empowering one. And without any further delay, I want to also remind you, the chat room is up, as you heard me welcome a guest to the chat. And we will take your calls during the conversation. As usual, we will not leave them for the end of the show. So we welcome your call in. And the number to call is 646-915-8166. I want to go ahead and welcome guest 204120422043. Thank you all for joining the chat this morning. And please, during the course of the day, during the course of the segment, I would like for you to mark the show favorite, follow us, Become a friend on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And this way you will be kept informed of all the amazing things that we are doing. And now, without any further delay, I want to bring on my friend, Dr. Caldera, to the show. Dr. Caldera, good morning.
Yes, hi, good morning, Daphne.
How are you?
Oh, fantastic. It's a beautiful day here in Connecticut.
Oh, it's a beautiful day in Connecticut, I'm telling you. And I'm sure my listeners from across the world, just the mere fact that they're awake this morning, I am sure it's a beautiful day for them as well where they are. So what an honor, what a privilege to be in conversation with you this morning, for you to be sharing a lot of your skills and expertise with my listeners, and for investing in the mission and vision that I am on. So I want to thank you for, one, accepting the invitation to come and share your expertise, and for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us this morning. I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Daphne, and it's actually a pleasure. And if anything, I would like to take the opportunity to congratulate you also in putting this forum together for us to be able to inform individuals throughout the world about the importance of course, not only monetary wealth, but physical and spiritual wealth. And that is what I'm going to be sharing with today in terms
of
nutritional and health wealth.
One. Thank you. I want you, before we get into the wealth of information that you have to disseminate this morning to my listeners, I want for you to please set the pace for us. Tell us about your humble beginnings when you enter into this world. And then we are going to go into all the other aspects. I want to welcome from Canada, Crafted Space, thank you for joining us this morning. Another colleague and friend and a returning listener to the show. Thank you for coming. Yeah, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Well, my name, as it is complex, is Mei Ling Hsu Caldera. And if some of you might recognize, there's some Chinese there and there's some Spanish there. I'm actually 100% Chinese, born and raised in Nicaragua, Central America. So Chinese and Spanish, of course, are part of my cultural upbringing. I'm married to a Hispanic individual as well, and so I have four beautiful children. But before then, of course, being born and raised in Nicaragua gave me a wealth of cultural experiences that not too many people have, since I had the Chinese parents and growing up in a very Latin country. Mm-hmm. So during that time, of course, I lived in a very tiny town bordering Nicaragua and Honduras. Mm-hmm. And there I was able to grow, you know, in a very natural environment right in front of a river that divides Nicaragua from Honduras, and, you know, being able to climb on trees and, you know, look for insects and so on. I was always interested in biology. Mm-hmm. And like it happens in many tropical countries, there's a lot of insects, including mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. So myself and my friends would get bitten by mosquitoes, which eventually would turn into sores.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that time, you know, my mother would wash my sores and then put some sulfa pill powder on it, and it would heal it. So then I started to do that with my own friends. And so even as a young child, I already had started to help and treat people with their health. Mm-hmm. And eventually that evolved into more serious studies, because I'm sad to say that my mother died of cervical cancer when I was 15. And 11 months later, I lost my father to lung cancer. So even before I was 16, I'd lost both my parents. And so that actually motivated me to want to study medicine and try to prevent this condition, you know, from occurring to other individuals. So I actually went to, again, being an orphan, but thanks to the Lord, I had older siblings that helped to take care of me and, you know, provide shelter and food for me while I went to high school. And then, you know, was able to finish college. And I went to UC Berkeley in California. And, you know, did my undergraduate there in nutrition and biochemistry. Now, you all know that, you know, medical school is not cheap. So I ended up going to medical school in Guatemala, where, you know, of course, I was able to cost my tuition by working, you know, the summer months in the United States and then saving up all of my money. I actually would get 3 to 4 jobs, you know, so lots of part-time jobs during the day and, you know, in a week time I would have like 3 jobs and then I would have a weekend job. So you could see I would handle 3 to 4 jobs at a time, save my money, and with that I put myself through medical school.
Beautiful. What a beautiful story. Because you know something, it's interesting that we are in conversation today, because this past Sunday, I had a guest on my show, and he too lost his mother to cancer at the age of 15. And now he has devoted his life to working in an oncology practice down in New York, where he is the practice manager. And he said to me, he said, every day I go to work, I strongly feel that the spirit of my mother is smiling down on me. And he says that every patient that comes there in his eyes, he's doing for them what he would have wanted to do for his mother. And it's amazing how our tragedies can be converted to our greatest advantages in life. Go ahead.
No, I truly believe that. And sometimes we ask God, you know, why has this happened to me? But he knows best. And many times he uses our challenges, our mishaps to strengthen us and make us a stronger individual.
Exactly.
We were able to reach out to many more people.
That's right, because I know in my life, my adversities has carved me into the woman I am becoming, because I am not, God is not half done with me yet. I'm still a work in progress, and if it were not for my adversities in life, I would not be sitting here on this radio show this morning, because I did not go to journalism school. I didn't do any of that. I went to nursing school, and now I'm on a whole different path, all because of the adversities that I have encountered in my life and continue to encounter. Because, as I'm sure you will agree with me, Dr. Caldera, is that when you are really connected and honing into your life purpose and calling, the adversities get more, because there are forces that are trying to derail you from that true path that you were called to. And this is why you need to stay focused and, you know, as I say, run your race, continue in your lane, and don't get distracted by other people.
Absolutely. And I believe the enemy was trying to keep us from being able to share what I'm going to share today with regards to, you know, helping us stay healthy.
That's right. That's right. And with that being said, I mean, the listeners, whether they're listening to it on archive or they're listening live this morning, you can surely say to yourself, listening to Dr. Caldera's story, if she can be on this airwave this morning sharing with you this wealth of information from that humble beginning, so can you. If she can be a professor at one of the country's top universities, so can you. You just need to follow your heart. So, enough being said from me. I'm going to just take a brief commercial break, and then I'm going to come back, and we are going to just go into the information with Dr. Caldera.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Okay, I want to welcome guest 2136 and also to let my listeners in Connecticut and New York know that I am still looking for families who want to invest in the lives of some French teenagers. They come to our state for 3 weeks in the summer to enhance their English and to learn about the American culture. We have two dates that they are coming, July the 10th through the 30th and August the 2nd through the 22nd. And for those of you who are willing to open your hearts and home to help these young people, you can send me a message on Facebook or even here on the radio show. I tell you, you will be happy that you help to invest in the lives of future adult and future leaders. Okay, so Dr. Caldera, nutrition, immune system, healthy, go for it. It's all yours.
Okay, great. Actually, maybe I would like to share a little bit about my educational background.
Sure.
As I was saying, I did come from Nicaragua, Central America, and again, through different circumstances, you know, I was able to go to college in California up to my bachelor's at UC Berkeley. Mm-hmm. Again, my ambition was to become a doctor, and since I couldn't afford it, I went to the medical school in Guatemala, Central America, where I did, you know, intensive practice in both tropical diseases and the regular diseases that we are encountering nowadays here in the United States as well. Mm-hmm. While doing that, I realized that many of the diseases that I was studying evolved due to different nutritional issues, whether undernutrition or overnutrition. And, of course, here in the United States, most of the issues are related to overnutrition. Mm-hmm. But people don't realize that even though we are the wealthiest country with, you know, all the foods readily available, many of those foods, even though they make us fat, they are not supplying all the important nutrients that we need. There have been studies showing that, you know, a lot of the vitamins, a lot of the minerals have been depleted. The minerals have been depleted from the soils where these foods are grown. So many of those foods that we're eating, even though we think that they are providing nutrients to us, don't have as much. So, you know, again, we are eating a lot, but still undernourished. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, again, many people don't realize that it's important to, you know, be aware of what it is that we're putting into our bodies. Because through that, our bodies are able to function much better. And as it occurs with many diseases and infections, our immune system is pivotal in terms of being able to help us fight back many of these diseases. So, as I was saying, I realized that nutrition was very important to help to prevent or even cure some of these diseases. So I decided that I needed further background in terms of nutrition. And again, the Lord opened the doors for me so that I was able to come and do a PhD program at the State University here in Storrs. So So I actually studied at the University of Connecticut and got my PhD there, related to calcium and vitamin D. Again, the Lord opened other doors, and I was able to do a postdoctoral study looking at vitamin D and cancer. And I know, you know, there are many individuals listening on this program right now, and they don't realize, you know, the importance of vitamin D and many of the health issues that we're facing. So I actually focused especially on vitamin D and cancer at that time. During that period, many results indicated that vitamin D could be used to prevent cancer. There's a big discovery showing that high levels of vitamin D were able to convert abnormal leukemic cells into normal cells. And so a lot of my studies were focused on looking at different types of vitamin D that were produced synthetically so that pharmaceutical companies could actually, you know, patent that and, you know, being able to use it as an anti-cancer therapy.
Dr. Caldera, what's the recommended dosage of vitamin D should an individual consume each day?
Well, again, there are many things that are going on. And unfortunately, here in the United States, a lot of that knowledge is still behind. The 400 international units that are being recommended were determined, you know, half a century ago. And those doses were primarily to prevent rickets in children. You know, as you know, vitamin D also plays an important role in strengthening of the bones by helping for more calcium. But again, those results were focused primarily in preventing rickets in children. So much more information is available now, but unfortunately the medical field has not caught up with it in terms of divulging that information to the population at large.
And then the question comes to mind, is it that the medical field has not caught up with it, or are they refusing to let it be available for us? Because, I oftentimes say that the results that we are getting on research out there, the truth of the result depends on who funded the researches. Are they being funded by pharmaceutical or people who are advocating for pharmaceutical? And because I love doctors and I respect them, I have many friends who are doctors. Instead of us totally depending on the doctors to spoon feed us all the requirements that we need to be assertive enough to go seek and find these things that we need for ourselves. Because if we wait on the doctors, I mean, with all due respect, Dr. Caldera, to you guys, if we wait around, we might never get the information.
Absolutely. And I'm sad to say this because I am a doctor. And that is why I went into nutrition, because I realized that, again, a lot of these, I truly believe in prevention. And so if I could educate my patients, my clients, about eating properly, you know, providing the right nutrients that are readily available, our own bodies could help fend off infections and diseases and actually even keep us healthy if we provide the right nutrients to our bodies. Now, going back to the vitamin D issue, other countries such as Europe, even Canada, have actually upgraded their recommendations with regards to vitamin D. So Canada actually increased the recommended intake for vitamin D up to 2,000 international units a day. In Europe, they're actually providing 5,000 international units. And since they have done that, they have found that about 17 different cancers are being reduced in terms of incidence at that level. And, you know, talking about vitamin D, many people, you know, just let me review in case, you know, you might not know this information.
Uh-huh.
We could make vitamin D naturally from the sunlight. Uh-huh. So a fair-skinned person exposing themselves to sunlight in a bikini, in the summertime, of course,
uh-huh.
able to produce up to 20,000 international units in 10 to 20 minutes of exposure to sun.
Ah.
Natural production. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. in the United States, especially in the north and even, you know, in the south of the U.S., people are sun scared. They try
yes.
to avoid sunlight as much as possible, and so they use UV ray blocking lotions. And mm-hmm. so even though they may go out into the sun, they don't get the right ultraviolet rays for their mm-hmm. own bodies to produce vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that brings me to another point, especially in certain populations who have dark skin,
mm-hmm.
you know, African-Americans especially, they, again, by genetics, they have a natural sunblock.
Mm-hmm.
And so African-Americans need 6 to 10 times more sun exposure to be able to produce the same amount of vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that this is a challenge for certain populations.
Yeah, because there are a lot of people in this country who don't know what it is to be out in the sun at all. Many. So we are really doing ourselves a disjustice by not exposing to the sun. And there are so many conflict out there with this information. And you wonder oftentimes, which is the accurate information that you need to be following? And thankful to, experts like yourself who is ready to come on and share with us so we can understand what we need to do for ourselves, because the wealth of our health is totally our responsibilities and we have to take action.
Absolutely. And so actually, I just want to put a plug in right now, and I'm actually going to forward to you a letter that a group of vitamin D experts are putting together demanding that the FDA consider some of the recommendations that they're providing, because in terms of vitamin D, it's only added to milk. And what we are seeing is that a lot of cultures don't consume milk.
Mm-mm.
So even though they're, you know, recommending vitamin D to be added to certain foods, these foods are not used by certain populations. And studies have shown that lots of African Americans and Asian cultures don't consume milk regularly, so they're not getting vitamin D even in their foods.
And a lot of people now are consuming coconut milk and almond milk versus dairy milk. So the wealth of our health is continuous daily acquisition of knowledge and information. We got to keep going out there to find it. So if we are among the numbers that aren't consuming dairy with the added vitamin D, then we need to take the high dosage unit of the vitamin D along with exposing to as much sunshine as we can. What's
right, and let me just clarify something here. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, it's known that ultraviolet rays also cause skin cancer. So hence, mm-hmm. you know, this fear of being exposed to sunlight. But, you know, 10 to 20 minutes exposure is not going to cause the damage
mm-hmm.
that would result in skin cancer. So I would recommend, you know, getting some natural exposure to sunlight, and then after, you know, 15, 20 minutes, then put on the sun-blocking lotion.
I was going to ask you, what's the safest hours of the day to expose yourself to the sun?
You know, of course, the more intense the sunlight is, especially in the summertime, you know, around the noon hours, between 10 and 1 p.m. But, again, that's when the sun rays are more intense also.
Yes.
So, again, 10 minutes exposure during that period
of time. Yeah, cut it down instead of 20, do 10.
Right. And, again, because even just, you know, the intensity of the heat. Now, again, people with fair skin, you know, do need to take more precaution, just because individuals with, you know, darker tones, Hispanics or people who tan easily, are less likely to develop.
Prone to, Wonderful. Okay. Continue.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to continue on was talking about the immune system. And interestingly enough, of course, vitamin D plays a very important role in the immune system. So before I go on into that, you know, I would like to share a little bit about the immune system.
And you were going to share about the, okay, did you do the content of the letter already? Because I thought you were going to share about the letter that was presented to the FDA.
Are it's going to be sent out soon, and so they're asking, you know, as many people to sign this protest letter, because what the FDA is recommending, again, as it is, the 400 international units of vitamin D that is found in dairy is not enough.
Right.
So us to be able to get enough, we might have to take 4 cups or more of milk, and, you know, not everybody drinks that much milk to begin with. And also because since they're focusing that supplementation or that enrichment in a food product that not everybody consumes, it's being greater disparity in terms of availability of some nutrients in some populations. So basically the African Americans and those populations who don't consume dairy are not getting, you know,
the required amount.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So our immune system, what can we do to be in total control of enhancing the well-being of that system? Oh.
Well, as it is, you know, the way we were created, we have a natural system. It's a very complex system of different cells, different organs, and very tiny molecules that are ingrained into our genetic material to help to fight back, you know, different diseases. And this, there are two different types. There's immune system that is encoded into our DNA or our genetic material. And there's another immune system in which we develop, we acquire, either by consuming colostrum from our parents, from our mother. So basically, in the mother's milk, there's immune factors that she's able to transfer to her newborn within the first 30 hours and, you know, subsequent lactation. So that first milk that she produces is very rich in immunoglobulins and in certain factors that have been named transfer factors, because basically she's transferring an immune memory from the different diseases that she has been exposed to. And her own immune system has created a memory bank in those cells. And so in the colostrum, she's transferring that memory bank to her baby. And so that children who are breastfed.
That's what I was going to say.
Exactly. They are less likely to develop, you know, infectious diseases. They develop, you know, physically much better, and they have also seen that they are less likely to develop cancers at an early age.
I remember practicing as a nurse in Jamaica in the prenatal clinic. That was such a strong area of focus, that babies should be breastfed. And, you know, we had some mothers who were even up to 18 months to 2 years were breastfeeding their babies. And it was such an amazing thing for them to just see the development, not only of the babies, but the bonding with the mothers as well. And now a lot of younger mothers tend to turn their noses up at breastfeeding. And I think it's the ignorance that they don't know that they are really not giving the children the best that they have to give.
Yes, well, fortunately, people are coming around nowadays, but definitely it remains for us to be able to convey that message by educating them about the importance of breastfeeding. So something that was naturally done, you know, from eternity, from when, you know, humankind developed, and you know, it's not something that is taught. As you notice, you know, other mammalians just naturally breastfeed.
That's right. Breastfeed their babies. That's
so
right.
The humans, but again, through our progress in terms of, you know, industrial development, and so on. And unfortunately, the effect of modernization, you know, where women have become, you know, more concerned about their well-being, their looks.
Their physical well-being, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Their looks.
That they have moved away from breastfeeding. And even, unfortunately, because many moms may have to work, they're not able to be there with their infants to breastfeed them. But
you know something that I notice, sorry to cut you, that's been happening. I have friends, close friends, who are expressing the breast milk and it's refrigerated. So when they are home on the weekends or on the days that they aren't working, they put the baby to the breast to be fed. But when they are out, it's expressed and then the baby is still getting the breast milk. And I admire them because these women are young women, gorgeous young women. But because they have availed themselves to the information that this is good for their babies and they are not compromising, they are doing the best they can to make sure the baby gets the best, you know?
Absolutely, and it is doable. And let me just share, because I actually have 4 children. So when I was going through medical school, I had my first child, and I was going through OBGYN rotation. And unfortunately, we only got like 1 week off for maternity leave. So could you imagine?
Oh,
week
my
after
heavens.
Thing, you know, I had to go back to medical practice school. But what I did do, and of course I knew how to do it, was to pump the milk, and that milk I would save it in little bottles and leave it for my baby. Use the following day. And you know, of course, as soon as I got home, you know, I breastfed her all the time that I was with her at night, and you know, whenever possible. So I was able to breastfeed all of my 4 children up
wonderful.
To not, almost a year.
Yes, yes, that's
and believe
wonderful.
Me, there's so many wonderful benefits of breastfeeding. You know, especially, of course, being able to provide not only, you know, a nutritious, you know, the most perfect food for a baby, but all these immune factors that I'm talking about.
It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So
I don't know if you would like me to go into a little bit more detail with respect to some of those immune factors, because
yes, I want to. And the other thing too, because the show's focus is around the education, inspiration, and empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. I would like for you to somehow tie into the advantages of a healthy immune system for an entrepreneur, because we tend to be just going, and we are not maintaining this engine that keeps us going. So tell us, as entrepreneurs, some of the steps and guidelines that we should be sticking to make sure we are exhibiting healthy, total health.
Absolutely. Well, many people, unfortunately, you know, we're striving to better our lives, and we are only capable of doing that by probably having a greater income. And so we tend to focus on the income-producing activities and forget about the machine that needs to be taken care of to be able to provide that income, and that is our bodies. And so by, many people work very hard and ignore what their bodies need. And it's almost like killing the golden, the goose that lays the golden egg, right?
Yep.
So, unfortunately, many people forget that they need to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, of course, my recommendations are always, the natural ways,
Mm-hmm.
First of all, getting enough sleep. Many people don't realize that the sleep process is a renewal process that God has given us. You know, by rest, by allowing the body to rest during our sleep time, our body is actually regenerating and renewing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever noticed that, like when you get sick, your body makes you feel sleepy and tired.
Mm-hmm.
That's because your body is telling you, and you know you need to rest, because during that rest period,
mm-hmm.
the energies are focused in renewing and regenerating the body.
Mm-hmm.
So my first recommendation is to get enough sleep. So when I say enough, it varies from individual to individual. Personally, I only sleep 4 to 5 hours, and that's because without that clock or anything like that, my body just wakes up, and when I wake up, I'm refreshed, I'm rejuvenated, I'm not tired, I could just jump out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
For other individuals,
they need
they can't
8 hours or 10 hours,
Exactly.
Yep.
They may need 6, 7, 8 hours.
So know your body, know yourself, what your needs are.
So if when you wake, you are still tired, if you look at that time frame, it may not be enough. You have to, when you do wake up, you have to feel, refreshed, renewed, and, feeling well, not tired. So you have to know your body in terms of that. The other recommendation, of course, is to eat properly. And, again, that's why I went to to nutrition, because I realized that many of us are not eating properly. Unfortunately, because of the lifestyles, we tend to depend on a lot of foods that have been processed. So, try to eat as much naturally cooked food, not from a can or from a box that has a label, but basically foods that don't have labels.
Mm-hmm.
So, fresh beans that you make yourself, or, whole grains that have
mm-hmm.
not been processed, because
mm-hmm.
in that processing, a lot of the natural nutrients that they contain are removed.
As a certified nutritionist, do you recommend that we eat as much organic as we can, or what's your take on that?
Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, of course, it turns out that the healthier foods tend to be more costly. And so,
mm-hmm.
I'm very cautious in terms of recommending organic, because, of course, not everyone could afford them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the cost effectiveness, mm-hmm. sometimes, you may have to pay a little bit more for your food, but then in the long run, it'll keep you healthier.
It's cheaper than the drugs.
Exactly, because either you pay now to stay healthy, or you pay later mm-hmm. when you're sick.
That's right. So
again, in terms of organic, try to put in as much as you could afford. That's
mm-hmm.
what I try to say. And
mm-hmm.
then there's certain foods
and
that
there are areas. There are areas where there are co-ops. So if you get to know the community that you're in, there are a lot of co-ops that people can pull together and do wholesale, or they buy in bulk, which makes it more affordable.
Exactly. And, of course, right now in the summertime, where farmers market,
mm-hmm.
are open,
yep.
You should try to take advantage as much as possible. And if you have a little backyard, try to create your own little garden.
My friend in New York, the home she owns, the entire backyard is cemented, concreted, but they have the most beautiful garden. Guess what they put their garden in? Plastic buckets.
Yeah,
and they grow everything. I'm telling you, beautiful.
So, and, you know, of course, there's a lot of materials that you could utilize and, you know, things that you would throw away, you could probably recycle and make it into, a pot garden.
Mm-hmm.
And those are readily available and you don't have to spend a lot of money in creating them.
That's right.
What I was going to recommend is try to eat as much green, nice, fresh, green and colorful fruits and vegetables. Because those are the ones that contain most of the nutrients,
mm-hmm.
especially in terms of antioxidants. I'm sure that you know you've been reading and hearing a lot of companies that are producing or selling you know foods that contain antioxidants, and those are substances that help our bodies fight back and prevent breakdown of our cells and our tissues due to that oxidative stress that occurs. Either by, you know, the very sun rays that we are exposed to or even the oxygen that we breathe, it in itself is creating oxidative stress. So, God puts it in nature for us to have available to us substances that help to neutralize those oxidative substances.
I want to remind the listeners that, you know, feel free to call in 646-915-8166 to ask your questions or share any experiences that you might personally have about what the conversation is about. And if you had came on with the hope that we were talking about what I had posted earlier on, we'll still take your input on that too. So don't feel as if you must leave the chat because that's not what we are doing. We will stand true to our words. Still call in and we'll take your input on that. So again, it's 646-915-8166.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Okay, and we also wanted to remind the listeners to the show to stop by the show page, leave us a comment after you listen to the segments of the show. Leave us your feedback so we know what your thoughts are about the conversation, as well as mark us favorite. This way, you will be kept informed of who the guests are on the show, what they will be talking about. Also, we ask that you follow us on Twitter and also on Facebook. We are looking for friends. We are looking for your support. And again, I encourage you to call in. My guest this morning is Dr. Caldera. She's a nutritionist from the UConn University College here in Connecticut. So listen, this is your opportunity to pick her brains and to find out what she can pass on to you. So again, 646-915-8166. And back to you, Dr. Caldera.
Okay, thank you very much, Daphne. Many times, you know, I speak in conversation with many individuals, as they know that I'm a nutritionist, you know, they try to pick my brain. And they would say, well, I'm taking this vitamin and that vitamin or this mineral and that mineral, you know, do you think that that's enough?
Mm.
And what I want to tell your listeners today is that all nutrients, you know, there are over 75 different nutrients that we need on a regular basis. And as I was saying, many of the foods that we consume don't have everything. So it's important to eat a wide variety of, you know, nutritious foods that are varied in color and texture and provide from different sources so that you could have, you know, an abundance of all of these different nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Also, again, many people think, you know, I'm only taking one or another vitamin. All of these vitamins are needed in significant amounts. So mm-hmm. it's important that you are aware of what components are in your diet and mm-hmm. that what components are not, so that you mm-hmm. could actually complement that or supplement that by taking additional, vitamins in individual form or as a multivitamin. The next aspect that I wanted to cover, of course, was how is it that you're able to strengthen your immune system? Because mm-hmm. I mentioned, of course, getting enough sleep.
Yes.
The next was a diet.
Eat,
and
eat,
I don't want
properly.
To go too much into depth about the nutrition because I could spend days. It's not, you know, I actually spend a full semester talking about the different nutrients. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
It's important to give the listeners some, you know, some ground rules around that, you know, nutritionally what to do and all of that. Not a full semester of it, but it's important to help them make educated choices and decisions.
Exactly. So I would recommend, of course, rule number one. Don't skip meals. You know, many individuals would come to me and say, well, doc, I only eat one meal a day, but why is it that I'm not losing weight? Or if anything, you know, I'm gaining weight. And that's, your body
holds on.
Exactly. It your metabolism actually shifts to conserving energy.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of losing weight, many people, even though they only eat one meal a day, they actually gain.
Because it holds on to the food because it doesn't know when it's going to get again.
Exactly. So it goes mm-hmm. into that starvation mode. You know, just how mm-hmm. how the little animals in the wintertime that, you know, they go into hibernation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Metabolism slows down so that they won't expend energy.
Yes.
And that's how they're able to survive. So we also have that ability that even though our refrigerator may be full of food, but if we don't eat at the right time, our system, our body feels that, you know, there's not much food available, and then it goes into that conservation mode, slows down our metabolism, and tries to hold on to as much fat as possible because that's mm-hmm. our reserve energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it is real. I mean, there's a lot of information out there that support the fact that it is safe to eat a lot of small meals throughout the day.
Absolutely. So, the best way of eating would be 3 to 4 or even 6 small meals throughout the day, basically spacing them out between 3 to 4 hours. And this way you're able to maintain your blood sugar levels within a normal range. And that also applies, of course, with people who have problems in terms of abnormal blood sugar levels.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The next recommendation about eating nutritiously is, of course, trying to incorporate good fats. Many people say, well, you know, I'm eating no fat altogether. Now, keep in mind that there are good fats and bad fats.
Mm-hmm.
The good fats are those, again, provided in nature, such as the omegas, you know, omega-3 fatty acids,
mm-hmm.
omega-9, omega-6. And those we find, you know, in nuts, whole grains, as well as, avocados.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, the omega-3s are found in deep water fish,
mm-hmm.
you know, cold water fish. Those are very good and important to help maintain our immune system. And also, you know, they have very potent anti-inflammatory effects. It's important to keep a balance in terms of those omegas too, because people don't realize that there's omega-3s and omega-6. And omega-3s and 6 work in tandem in the sense that the omega-6 are inflammatory. They help us to form blood clots, which are necessary if we cut ourselves.
Yes.
But too much, you know, causes other problems.
So we have to have a balance of what we are doing, right?
Exactly. Omega-3s are anti-inflammatory, and they also prevent blood clotting. So they are anticoagulant, which is important to help keep our blood flowing well, and of course, you know, preventing blood clots. So we need to have a balance, and in our diets, we should have, you know, a ratio of 2-to-1 or, you know, 1-to-1 as much as possible. But
so
our modern diet, especially with the development of extraction of oils from plants, and of course with the excessive usage, I would say, of corn products, we are using more and more oils that contain hundreds times more omega-6. And so, you know, a lot of the oils that we use for cooking have more omega-6. So nowadays, the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 in our diet is in the 20 to 40 times more. And so, you know, as I said, omega-6 are inflammatory, are coagulating fact, it, you know, stimulates coagulation. So if you listen to what's going on here in the United States, a lot of people are having inflammatory conditions, you know, arthritis, you know, joint pain, you know, anything that has to do with inflammation, and a lot of cardiovascular disease, which again is due to inflammation.
I want to ask a question before you continue, because it's a lot of good stuff that's being said, but I want to insert a question here. With all this being said, how safe is it then that we keep picking up all these over-the-counter vitamins or supplements? Should we at least be sitting down X amount of times a year with a nutritionist to make sure we are getting the required amount that's needed?
Of course, I'm a nutritionist, so I would be biased and say yes. But through, you know, educating yourself, I'm just trying to convey this message. I truly believe in empowering my clients. You know, if I educate them the first time in choosing the right foods, they might not need to come back to me. So it's not a matter of creating business for myself, but rather, you know, I truly believe in helping individuals help themselves.
So even once is, you know, I mean, even once you go and you get the, it's like you're going to basic. Here is what is needed. So you get this information. So when you walk in there, you are going to be able to make an educated selection because you have the basic guidelines to work with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Continue.
As I was talking about the ratios of omega-6 and omega-3s. And
threes.
So
that's
why nowadays, you know, you hear more and more nutrition individuals recommending for you to consume more omega-3s so that you could bring back that into balance. But you forget that people still consuming too much omega-6. So that's why, you know, the olive oils, the, you know, other omega-3 rich oils, even grapeseed oil and canola are the better oils to use rather than corn oil.
And the virgin olive oil too, right?
Absolutely.
Does the color matter? Because I know we have the amber looking and we have the green one. Which is better?
There are different methods of extracting the olive oil. And, of course, the cold press. I don't go so much with the color, but rather in how it's processed. Mm-hmm. And so, basically, the cold press extractive olive oil is the better one. Sometimes, of course, the color changes. I don't know if you've noticed that. And that has to do, all oils oxidize. You know, once they get exposed to air, all things get oxidized. So also, you know, you have to make sure that you cover your container and, you know, use it before the expiration date on the on the container.
On the container.
With time.
Read.
Right. I mean, if you notice, like some oils or even butters and margarines and different mayonnaise, they get rancid. The rancid is due to that oxidative process that occurs.
That's why you should buy smaller quantities so they just use it up and then get so it doesn't stay together and stir and anything like that.
Right. And even if you use the larger containers, you know, they could use a smaller container to have readily available to use and then the other container, you know, seal it as best as can. So
No, go ahead.
In terms of nutritional recommendations, you know, that's the other thing. Another more important fact is the use of less processed grains. Again, with the development of industry, you know, a lot of our grains, we don't consume them in their natural form anymore. And so a lot of these foods that we are exposed to are made with white flour, you know, basically, you know, it looks pretty, it looks nice, but no whiter it is, it means that it's been bleached from a lot of the nutrients. You know, a lot of the nutrients have been removed in that processing. So, again, try to avoid those and go with the more natural whole grain produce foods. Just try to avoid the whites, you know, white you flour, pastas that are not whole grain.
I remember growing up in Jamaica, my parents were farmers. And my father, he farmed sugar cane as well. And the sugar that they used to cook in a big iron pot. And they would juice the cane and they would make that sugar. And that's they used to call it new sugar. So growing up as a child, we did not go to the shop to buy sugar. That was the sugar that my father made. And a lot of men in that district made their own sugar. And it's the other day I was looking back and I said, my heavens, I was born and raised on organic and didn't even know it. Because everything was fresh from the farm and everything like that. And I look back and I said, I am so thankful for the foundation and the base that I have, because it's solid.
Absolutely. And actually, you point on something very, very important that I was going to touch on next, and that is the usage and consumption of sugar. Of course, now you just mentioned different sources of sugar. You know, in the olden times, they used to use molasses, honey, natural brown sugars that were not as processed. I mean, they're all processed because they have to be extracted, but they're not as they were not as
refined
processed as they are now. You know, the refined sugars. So, one thing that I wanted to point out is that not all sugars are the same.
That's right.
Well, the table sugar that we get, you know, some sugars come from cane, some sugars come from sugar beets. And unfortunately now another kind of sugar, you know, has come out, and that is the sugar derived from corn. And, you know, at one time it was called high fructose corn syrup, meaning that it contained more fructose than glucose. Not going to go too much into the chemical aspects of that, but basically, fructose is not utilized by the body as well. And if anything, it gets converted into fat several times more rapidly than regular sugar, than glucose. So, you know, a lot of the juices, the drinks that are being produced people are just drinking liquid sugar, so to speak.
That's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The high fructose corn syrup. Now, the corn companies have been able to get the manufacturers to change the name. Instead of saying high fructose corn syrup, now they change the name to corn sugar.
Wow.
Thing.
Same thing.
It's the same thing. Of course, there's lots of advertisements saying, oh, it's the same thing. But biochemically, they're not utilized or broken down the same way. So the fructose gets converted primarily into that fat that you even see little kids, you know, they're cute, they're chubby, and they have this big belly. And that's
yes,
the same belly that, you know,
grown-ups
have.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, wow, I'm giggling, but it's not funny. This is why we got to, for want of a better description, we got to take the bull by the horn. We got to go out there and search and search and find this information that will help us make the right decision and choices for the longevity of our lives, because the advertisement hides so much from us, and we can't just sit down and go by that. You got to go search and find and compare for yourself.
Exactly. So, you know, I just want to bring awareness to you and look at your labels.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the amounts of components in a food are listed in decreasing order. So what is listed first is found the most, and then as it goes down in quantity, you know, it goes down the list.
Mm-hmm.
So if some kind of sugar is listed in the first five, you know, it probably contains too much. And, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of proper amounts of sugar, I mean, I'm not saying cut all sugar out completely, but, you
right.
know, should have less than 5 grams of sugar per serving.
Mm-hmm.
And I know many people say grams. How do you know how much sugar that is? Because it's hard to conceptualize grams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let me just tell you that 4 grams of sugar is equivalent to a teaspoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you notice, you know, a lot of juices, a lot of things have, you know, 28, 30 grams of sugar. So if you just divide that by 4, you could tell how much an 8-ounce serving of a juice has in terms of sugar.
And sometimes you watch people dunking in their coffees, and they take up those packet things and they take up a whole handful and they rip and they dump, and they're not even thinking of how much sugar it is that they are consuming. I want to go back to something you said about not cutting out all sugars. But I tell you something, I use like fruits and things like in my oatmeal and thing, I'll put raisins or I put banana or nuts. And believe you me, I don't miss the salt and the sugar, because those things and the cinnamon and the nutmeg give me the nice flavor. So for a long time, I don't even use salt at home. Sometimes I use sea salt if I'm having company, because I don't want them to say, oh, well, your food don't have any salt. And a lot of times I put enough spices in there and seasoning, and they don't even know.
Absolutely. And again, I try to say, you know, not to be radical in terms of removing certain foods, because then people don't follow through.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't like to be, you know, very radical with that recommendation. But as you were saying, you could sweeten a lot of your foods with, you know, fruits, you know, natural ways.
Mm-hmm.
So coming back to the sugar part, you know, again, you know, it's important to know what the source of that sugar is.
Mm-hmm.
And even though fruits have sugar, you know, it's important also not to overdo it. There's some fruits that have a lot more sugar than others. And as you know, the riper they are, the sweeter they are.
And
they do have more sugar. So, again, moderation is important.
Mm-hmm.
And a good example is, for example, grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And grapes are healthy, you know, they contain lots of nutrients, antioxidants, you know, they even have the resveratrol in the grape skin and so forth. But then instead of eating just a handful of grapes, some people sit down with a pound or two of grapes. And even though it is nutritious,
it is true. Yes.
Too much is also not good because
not
then
good.
That
yeah.
sugar is going freely into your body, and then your body just stores it as fat.
Well, can you know something? Because I'm laughing too. You probably know I'm laughing because of guilt. But I'm not eating a whole pound. But I tell you, you know, for me with the grapes, the worst thing to do is to be in a conversation while you eat grapes. I
yes.
learned this first.
Where?
Because you know what happened? You keep talking and you're putting a grape in your mouth. You put a grape and you talk, put a grape in, and you finish. And the entire packet of grape is gone. You're looking at stems.
Absolutely.
So be,
absolutely.
So
and that applies to many things as well. So
yes, right.
even, you know, snacks and chips and, you know, snacks are okay. You know, it keeps you from getting hungry and so on. It
yes.
helps to control your hunger. But measure out what you're going to eat. You know, half a cup, a cup of, you know, whatever you're going to eat, and then put away the rest. Because,
that's right.
like you're saying, many people either watching television or, you know, like, you're, you know, even in conversation, you don't
mm-hmm.
realize what you're doing. And
doing,
so,
that's right.
You overeat. And also it doesn't give, because when you're not concentrating on what on eating, you know, the center recommend, you know, you should try to eat in a nice, quiet place and, you know, not
mm-hmm.
be distracted because
that's
your
right.
body is processing and realizing, okay, I'm eating. So it's able to keep track as to what you're eating, and it gives you feedback. When
mm-hmm.
your stomach is full, it tells you, okay, you're full, stop eating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're distracted, you know, such as you're explaining or watching television or some program, you don't realize it. You don't get that signal. And you,
you know, a friend was saying to me the other day, Dr. Caldera, she said, I can't believe that you still set the table and eat by yourself. And I said, this is my time to pamper me. I'm really not a TV person, so I'm not watching TV. But I sit there and I enjoy whatever it is that I'm eating. And to her, she said, this is so weird that you do that. But it's timing that I'm investing in me and the quality, because I'm so old school. I remember as a young child growing up, they always tell you you don't swallow anything unless you chew it 32 times. I don't know if when you were growing up in Nicaragua, whether they taught you that too. So some call it that I am programmed. But I am still to this day not able to be eating in a rush. This is why when I go to conferences and stuff, I end up packing my meal and take it with me because I can't eat in the designated time that it's given.
Absolutely. And that's so important of eating slowly. You know, many dietitians and, you know, other individuals that are doing weight management
mm-hmm.
make that recommendation because, as I was saying, by chewing, like you said, many times, it helps in the first place to break down the food to a consistency that your body is able to absorb most of the nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is that it's helping to send that message to your brain, you know, that the food that is going down is reaching the stomach. It sends that signal to help
mm-hmm.
you to know when you're satisfied or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And many kids nowadays, the parents just get the food, plop it in front of the television, and the kids eat that way. But again, it's not good.
God, no yeah. conversation is going on. And this is why there's so much breakdown in the family. One of the contributing factors to the breakdown of the world's family today, because families are not sitting together and have a meal and talk about what happened. I mean, growing up poor, I didn't even realize I was poor. But the one thing we had, we were talking. We didn't have any of those gadgets that got in the way. You know, Papa talk about what happened, whoever farm they were working that day, because they were networking in the district to work each other's farm, and Mama would talk about what's going on with everybody else, and we just talk, and we used to, it's storytelling, but they used to call it Anansi story. I don't know why they call it Anansi story, but that's what they used to call it, and it's the way they tell story, and now I look at people. That's what they're doing as a business, storytelling. And there's so much richness in all those things, you know?
Exactly. So I'm not sure if we have enough time to be able to go. I have a very nice little one-page.
Well, I tell you something. We have time because you have so much wealth of information to cover. And we are going because we don't have any other guests unless someone calls in, because I had promised them we're going to talk about health, wealth, and success. And we are talking about that. So you have time. We have 44 minutes.
Okay, great. Well, I have other steps in terms of nutrition. And
yes.
One of them, of course, I had mentioned about eating, you know, your full meals, but
mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention that it's important to start your day right, and that is
breakfast.
They have done studies showing how individuals who skip breakfast are more likely to be obese than those who actually eat a breakfast. And the best breakfast is something that would provide about 5 grams or more of fiber and about 15 to 20 grams of protein. So that makes people satisfied, and also.
Would you repeat the protein, please? 5 grams of fiber and how much protein?
15 to 20 grams of protein, and that
mm-hmm.
makes the individual feel satisfied for a good portion of the morning,
mm-hmm.
And also it ignites their metabolism. It kind of gives them a jump start, you know, like how with your car. In the olden times when it was cold, you had to kind of pump a little gas to get it going.
Wow.
You
know, mentioned that, and I just want to insert something here because, you know, it's amazing how our beginnings has an impact on our lives. You know, growing up in Jamaica, there's always a healthy breakfast. Listen, we had ackee and saltfish with roast breadfruit or boiled banana. And on top of that, you know, there is what we call porridge, which is a hot cereal that's
yes.
made from grated corn or banana. And we drink the porridge too, and we eat all of the other things I just mentioned about. Or we have some callaloo with kidney or banana. But breakfast was like a dinner that we serve here now, and that was the breakfast.
And in the other cultures, their breakfast is the biggest meal, which is the logical thing because it provides the nutrients for you to be able to endure the rest
mm-hmm.
of the day. And also your body is able to burn off all of that extra calories during the day.
Wow.
While here in the United States, you know, like you're saying, that pattern
mm-hmm.
is flipped so that the bigger meal is at nighttime when people just sit down and relax.
Eat and watch TV, yep.
Exactly.
Mm.
So they don't have the extra time to be able to burn off those calories, and then they just get food. So, again, your
this
biggest meal
powerful.
Should probably be breakfast.
In the morning. Powerful, powerful. Okay. So those things that we grow up with and we always don't know why, but there's a method to their madness. They knew what they were doing. If we look back on the ground rule of our elders and our ancestors, if we follow that, we would not be falling in a lot of the ruts that we find ourselves into.
Exactly.
You know, this is powerful stuff. I'm telling you, we're going to have you back, Dr. Caldera. This is good stuff.
Absolutely, and I have a wealth of information, you know, especially when it comes to some specific issues, you know, like diabetes, cancer,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, other autoimmune conditions. But let me just give you another important tip.
Yes.
Many people, unfortunately, feel hungry, and the first
mm-hmm.
thing they do is, you know, reach for a snack
mm-hmm.
when they might only need water.
Mm-hmm.
We I always recommend people to drink enough water. And what is enough? Enough is, you know, they say like 8 glasses. For some people, it may be less, or for some people, it may be more. So the best way to determine what's your average or your normal intake of water should be is to take your weight in pounds,
mm-hmm.
and then you divide it by 2, and that's the number of ounces of water that you should consume in a day.
Weight in pounds divided by 2.
And that's the number of ounces of water that you should consume in a day.
Number of ounces per
so
day.
So if you feel hungry,
mm-hmm.
I always recommend, why don't you drink a glass of water first?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're still hungry after that, then, you know, you should consume something. But many times you may just be thirsty,
mm-hmm.
would satisfy it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm. I practice to drink water first thing in the morning as well.
Exactly.
Because there's somewhere in some study, I don't remember what I was studying, and learned that helps to trigger the electricity in my system. And it's just a habit of mine to just grab some water, drink the water first thing before I do anything else.
Well, if you think about it, you know, if your last meal was like at 7, 8, maybe you drank a water, you know, maybe 10 o'clock, and
mm-hmm.
then you go to sleep, your body has been without any supply of water, you know, 7, 8, 10, 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, you know, your body evacuates as you wake up, but then also you need to replenish it, and that
mm-hmm.
helps kind of cleanse your intestines and your urinary system as well by drinking, you know, and good 1 to 2 cups of water in the morning.
While we are on the subject of water, what's the best water for us to be drinking?
Again, there's different theories.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, a water that is not contaminated in the first place. And the other is a water that is more alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the foods that we eat cause our body to become acidic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you realize that, but cancer cells,
yep.
disease, thrives in
mm-hmm.
acidic environments.
Yes.
So, again, try to drink water that is more alkaline.
Alkaline. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Water per se, you know, is neutral. But
mm-hmm.
a lot of the waters, even using water filters and so on, it removes certain of the electrolytes that help to neutralize the water, and so it becomes more acidic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some doctors recommend, you know, just adding like a little pinch of sodium bicarbonate.
Yes. Yeah, because I saw a whole documentary on that thing. Well, I'm not going to go there this one, but I saw a whole documentary on that, and I said, my heavens, that's another show for another time. But there's so much information out there if we just go look for it, you know?
Or it's made, if it were to be made available, yes.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Anyways, I wanted to touch on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then last tip, again, there's many more, but again, I need to move on to some of the other aspects of
yes.
your immune system.
Uh-huh.
Is if you're hungry, you know, a good snack are, you know, chunks of vegetables. So, you know, you should carry with you, you know, little chunks of carrots or celery or radishes or anything that is raw,
uh-huh.
and you could eat that at any time because uh-huh. those provide very little calories, and they're rich in, you know, antioxidants and other healthy nutrients and fiber.
All right. This is good stuff, I'm telling you guys. So now everybody's been set up from this episode to go out and create their million so that we can experience total wealth, because this is good stuff here. All right. So we are moving on from our immune system.
So another important way of maintaining our immune system, of course, is to manage our stress. You know, our lives are full of stress, and even just the stress state of our bodies causes our body to be acidic, and also our immune response gets depressed. I don't know if you ever noticed that after a very stressful situation, you end up getting a cold, or even people develop, you know, more serious diseases, you know, after, you know, a very serious stressful situation in their lives, many of them end up getting diagnosed with a very serious disease. And that's primarily because their immune system does not function well under stress. Okay, so try to manage stress.
Manage your stress. Yeah, because we all, we live in a stressful environment, and we are not going to be able to not have stress. So the management is what is important. Because there's no such thing as stress-free life. There's properly stress-managed life, but not a free. I don't think there's any stress-free life.
Right, and there's good, just like the fat, there's good stress and bad stress.
Bad
stress, and,
yes.
The way to manage that, of course, there are, you know, many ways of doing it through prayer, meditation, and of course, exercise.
Yes.
And that
yes.
brings me to the next point of helping your immune system is by regular daily exercise as much as possible, both to manage the stress as well as to help your body's overall functioning. You know how they say, if you don't use it, you lose it?
Use it, yep.
So
I have to get busy. I don't want to lose mine.
Exactly. Not only help to strengthen your muscles, you know, your arms and your legs, but also it helps to maintain your heart muscle. And it helps also to cleanse your system because, of course, by during the exercise process, you improve circulation. You're bringing more oxygen to those to all your tissues.
Organs.
Exactly, and that helps to remove, of course, it brings more oxygen, but it also helps to remove waste products and helps to detoxify your body as well.
For those of you who are listening online, this is it. We are winding down. We need to hear you call in. The number is 646-915-8166, and I'm here with nutritionist Dr. Caldera, so call in. Call in. Thank you. Continue.
Okay. So in terms of doing exercise, it's important for us to do at least 20 to 30 minutes of aerobic exercise at least 3 to 4 times a week. So, you know, that helps our bodies to also start off with a good metabolism and start burning calories throughout the day as well.
I want to read something. Dr. Cuttle from Canada wrote that, Dr. Daphne, you and Dr. Caldera have brought to us needed information for our well-being. Very informative and easy to apply to our lives. That's
Thank
wonderful.
You.
That's wonderful. Yes. This is good stuff. This is good stuff because we are busy working on the million, and we are neglecting the most important aspect of that million, which is a healthy person, you know. So this is good stuff. I'm so excited about this.
Okay. So continue.
Thank you, Dr. Cuttle. Yes, continue, please.
In terms of the exercise part, there's different types of exercise also that need to be incorporated. You know, many people just do one type of exercise, but they don't realize that it's important to alternate between weight-bearing exercises and some kind of cross-training exercise, because we don't only need to strengthen the muscles, but we also need to increase flexibility and help to extend some of those muscles, because during exercise they end up getting contracted. So we, to prevent any injuries, it's important to also do stretches. And then the weight-bearing exercises not only strengthen our muscles, but they also help to strengthen our bones, because you know, our bones are made to carry weight. So if we don't put that stress on our bones, they don't maintain their their function, which is that to be strong, to be able to bear that weight. So many people don't realize also that muscle is what helps us to burn calories. So if you build muscle, you actually are able to burn more calories throughout the day. So again, muscle exercise helps increase your metabolism by about 15%.
Beautiful, beautiful. There's so much to learn, I'm telling you. And this is why I just love the way you're breaking it down step by step for us to follow, and you're saying it slowly and everything. So when people go back to the archives, they can actually write these notes down and follow step by step what you are giving us here. We have 29 minutes remaining. And how do you see us best spending this time?
Well, I had started to talk about the immune system and the different ways that you could help yourself improve your immune system. So I mentioned, you know, just to review, you know, getting enough sleep, eating a nutritious diet, you know, getting exercise and stress management. And so I want to spend the remaining of the time talking of other ways that you could help to boost your immune system. And there are many natural ways of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
So many of you are probably are familiar with, you know, aloe and, you know, noni and some of these super foods that are available. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many of them are being marketed for those qualitative functions that they have.
Mm-hmm.
They have done studies looking at, I think about 196 different substances that are known in one way or another to help improve our immune system. And so some of these foods, you know, I just mentioned the noni, the aloe, echinacea, you know, even mushrooms, these all have certain ability to improve our immune system. The noni, for example, and the aloe helps to improve it about 15%. So, you know, that's why many people are very happy to continue taking it, because they find that they don't get as sick. But there are other substances that are even more powerful than those. Some, of course, are still found in plant sources, such as mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Certain mushrooms help to improve our immune system by about 28 to 40%. Other substances that contain garlic, and as you know, garlic has other nutritional components. And
can I share something that I learned about 5 months ago? I was in conversation with this lady, a Latino woman, and she shared a story about when she had her first child in her country, in her native land, and the child was diagnosed with some disease. And the doctor said the child was not going to live, and they gave their time frame. Well, when she told her mother, the mother said to her, "Not my grandchild." And the mother began giving that child garlic soaked in olive oil. And that child, she gives the child a teaspoon in the morning, a teaspoon in the evening. And the lady was telling me this kid now is in his 20s. And she said, "I just go by what my mother tells me. Anything my mother tells me to do now, I just do it." So there's a lot out there.
Absolutely. And a lot of those old-time wisdom that is passed on from mother to children, you know, I had started to talk about the transfer factors that the mother transfer through her first milk to her infant, but of course also the other knowledge that mothers gain by experience and share it with, you know, future moms. But definitely, yes, garlic, olive oil, all of those have important components that help to boost our immune system. But there's even others that help to boost it even more. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to touch on some components called transfer factors. And, you know, I just started to talk about how moms pass it on to their infants. But with technology, we have come to learn that there are even more specific transfer factors. And by tapping into what is available to us, these have been able to be extracted and concentrated. And so they are made available for people to be able to take, you know, in small quantities to boost their immune system, you know, even all the way to 437%, you know.
Wow.
But what I want to emphasize right now is that when we talk about immune system, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say, you know, when your immune system is not working well?
It's like the main source of my energy and electricity. It's, to me, it is that plug that everything gets attached to that helps me to function, to put it in layman's term.
Okay.
So if that is out of whack, it means I'm going to get hit with all the diseases. I don't have the power to fight against anything. My organs are not going to be performing at peak.
Exactly. And many people think, you know, first thing is infections. And, of course, that is the primary objective of our immune system, to try to defend us from bacteria, fungi, you know, mm-hmm. Viruses that are in our environment. And so definitely, you know, that's what they do. But many people don't realize that there are other substances even within our body that may be affected by an abnormal immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So our immune system helps to defend us from infections.
Mm-hmm.
And so if our immune system, there are two extremes to how our immune system works. You know, there's a depressed immune system where, of course, you know, viruses, bacteria could invade our bodies and our immune system can't fight back. But then we have the other extreme where there's an overreactive immune system. And so conditions such as autoimmune diseases, you know, lupus, even diabetes, arthritis, some of these, fibromyalgia, multiple sclerosis, those are all considered autoimmune conditions where our own body, for some reason, is not working properly. Mm-hmm. And so it's overreacting to our organs and attacking them. And so mm-hmm. it starts to destroy those tissues and, you know, hence disease develops. So it's important for us to be able to have a well-functioning and well-balanced immune system. And that's where, you know, some components of that immune system needs to be considered. There are the antibodies, which we produce. I don't know if you've heard about immunoglobulins.
Mm-hmm.
Those are substances that our body produces to help fend directly. You know, antibodies attack germs that they know are harmful. So at one point when we got an infection, our body recognizes that germ and saves that in the memory of some cells. So next time that we get attacked by that same germ, we already produce antibodies against that germ. And so it sends specific immunoglobulins to destroy that germ. There are other types of cells as well that recognize other substances that are within our body, that are created within our body, that need to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, for example, abnormal cells. Initially, they may not be cancerous cells, but there's something abnormal about them. So our body needs to destroy them and get rid of them. And that occurs through the help of some cells called natural killer cells that recognize that a particular cell is not normal and then, you know, goes to destroy them. So constantly, our body is in watch. You know, it's like the National Guard. It's readily prepared to destroy things that are occurring on a regular basis in our body, or if we get attacked by an enemy, you know, a germ, a virus,
mm-hmm.
it's so readily available to destroy it. So it's important, of course, to have, you know, the right components in place so that mm-hmm. when these abnormal cells or germs come into play, our mm-hmm. body could fight them off as fast as possible, and therefore they don't invade our body and cause disease.
Wonderful.
Normally, our body, we're always creating abnormal cells, you know, whether mm-hmm. by radiation from the sun, from toxins that we consume in our diets, you know, even heavy metals, you know, lead, mercury, different things that are found in our food could be damaging our cells, and therefore they become abnormal. Now, we have those natural killer cells circulating in our bloodstream. You know, they're like the policemen watching out for those cells. However, if our immune system is depressed, there may not be enough policemen to try to catch those bad cells, and so those cells end up continuing to grow and develop and then form larger masses, which become, of course, tumors. And depending on the type of cell, they may become malignant tumors that, you know, invade the body even further.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question? It comes
sure.
to mind, and I want to ask it. There's a lot of information out there around that the fact that we need to maintain a healthy gut. Does a healthy gut contribute to a well-boosted immune system in any way? Is there any correlation with both?
Absolutely. Several things. In the first place, a healthy gut is necessary for us to be able to absorb the nutrients that we consume.
Mm-hmm.
Many people have such terrible guts, you know, that they're mm-hmm. lined with, you know, garbage, that mm-hmm. the food that they're consuming is not digested and absorbed efficiently. Mm-hmm. So even though they're eating foods, they're not getting the nutrients that they need. Secondly, just as around our throats, we have a lot of lymph nodes that are providing these cells that, you know, are watching for invaders.
Mm-hmm.
Our intestinal system is fully lined with a lot of those lymphatics
mm-hmm.
that have those white blood cells, again, keeping watch. So if our gut system is like the plumbing in our, you know, kitchen, you know, if we don't
mm-hmm.
clean it out often, then
it'll be backed up.
Exactly. And so it's not going to be functioning properly either, both for nutrient absorption and to help to prevent, mm-hmm. you know, diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some of those substances that stay stuck to the gut, eventually, of course, it putrefies, you know, so it's like having a rotten substance in our intestines and eventually produces toxins that end up damaging the intestinal cells. And that's why, you know, colon cancer is a very serious problem here in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, you know, the recommendation eating more fiber, you know, trying to maintain the bowel movement so that those toxic substances would be in contact with your intestinal cells the
mm-hmm.
less amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, being a clean gastrointestinal system is very, very important to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What I remember growing up, and I you guys know I remember a lot of stuff. I remember growing up in the West Indies, and we did not go to the doctor regularly for different reasons. There was none readily accessible close by, and we were poor and all of that. But every 3 months, religiously, on the almanac, we would get a washout.
I remember we call those.
You know those two. And, of course, you guys who are so highfalutin and sophisticated that we are talking about a colon lavage.
Okay.
So, and we would get a washout, senna pod and Indian root pill. And I remember people who didn't have the money to buy the senna pod and the Indian root pill, they got the castor oil.
Yes.
And then I came here and I'm saying, man, look at that. Those are the things that we were accustomed, and that was preparing the gut. That was cleansing the gut.
Exactly. Well,
wow.
it, back home also we had to deal with parasites.
Mm-hmm.
And even though here in the United States a lot of the foods apparently or supposedly are supposed to be free of parasites, you know, there are many other things that, you know, we don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a high incidence of colon cancer here in the United States. There's no
yep.
doubt about it. And unfortunately, again, I'm just looking at the statistics here.
Mm-hmm.
Both in men and women, the African-American population is at higher risk of colorectal cancer.
Wow.
So, you know, again, certain populations need to be made aware that they have to be more proactive in helping to prevent some of these conditions from happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just keeping a healthy gut definitely is one step in improving mm-hmm. that or preventing these diseases.
Wonderful, wonderful. We have 13 minutes remaining, and I'm still asking people to call in. So, you know, we definitely will need to have you back because you are a wealth of knowledge and information. And so I think it's about the time when we should begin to summarize our conversation today and with what to leave the listeners with and tell them to keep watching because we'll definitely think about having Dr. Caldera back to, you know, discuss some of those areas that we did not summarize. So with 13 minutes approximately remaining, I want for you to summarize and also at the end tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to thank everyone for their attention. I know it's a very long show, so 2 hours is asking a lot for them to be around.
It's an investment.
Well, I hope that what I have provided for you has been useful. And, you know, if you have any need in any form, I'm available. You could actually reach me at my my email,
mm-hmm.
which is M as in Mary,
mm-hmm.
Caldera, C-A-L, D as in David, E-R-A, 21, at gmail.com. And, you know, that's a very good way of reaching me. I also have an 800 number, which is 1-888-929-2927.
Okay. I have put them both in the chat room.
So just to summarize again, you know, there are many ways in which we could stay healthy so that in turn we'd be able to reach those wealth goals that, you know, we all need to do to be able to achieve, you know, whatever purpose we have here in this life. Because unfortunately, even though money is not everything, in this world, if you don't have money, you can't do many of the things that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just making recommendations in ways in which we could stay healthy by improving our immune system, which is the system that helps to guard us against not only pathogens, you know, germs or bacteria that are in our environment, but also to help our own toxins and substances that cause damage within our bodies and prevent diseases such as cancer and autoimmune diseases that in the long run, you know, are going to prevent us from being able to achieve our goals.
And do you have a website or no, you only have an email address?
I only have an email. I am in the process of creating a website, but again, you know, it's in my plans.
Wonderful.
In the meantime, you could reach me by those means.
Yes, we have it. It's in the chat room. I put it up in the chat room. And again, I want for you, we have 9 minutes remaining. Is there any, if you would want the listeners to narrow down 5 steps that they focus on out of this wealth of information that you gave us, what would that be? Okay, so I need to read what somebody writes in the chat room. The information she provides are very important to maintaining our well-being and balance in our lives. I have known a lot about them, but does not always practice. After listening to her on the importance of vitamin D and omega-3, I got up and drank them. So it's and drank them. Yeah. So it's someone in the chat room who is actually listening from Canada wrote that. And so you see, a lot of times we have the things around in our cabinets and everything, but we don't know. We are not normally consistent with taking them. And so this is just a pointer. Thank you, Dr. Cuttle, for sharing that. She's joining us from Canada, and you know, so this is good to show that it was worth your time, Dr. Caldera. And yes, 2 hours it's a long show, but for the reason we do that is because of the focus of the show. We are about education, inspiration, and empowerment. And if you believe in what you're doing and in the investment, you would invest the time. Because you go to the movie theater and sit for how long? And sometimes you go to the happy hour and you sit for what, 3, 4, 5 hours? So 2 hours to invest in your well-being is well worth it. So back to the question I ask you.
Hello?
Yes, are you here?
Yes, I'm sorry. What was your question?
The question was, if you would want people to pick out only 5 high points out of what you gave them this morning, what would you like those high points to be?
Well, as I was saying, you know, get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Start a good day with a good breakfast and eat throughout the day small meals.
Mm-hmm.
Drink a lot of water, you know. Again, test your hunger by drinking some water before.
Mm-hmm.
The next would probably be considering the sugars that they're consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And try to follow, you know, whole foods as much as possible. So try
mm-hmm.
to eat less processed foods as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Was that 5? I can
allow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, because I was taking notes too. There's something else wrote. Let me read it for you. It was needed educational, informative, and empowerment. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So you see, they say the people who turn up are the ones that were intended to be. So somebody who knows the quality of the information that was given this morning know that 2 hours was not even enough for all of this. And Dr. Caldera, I just want to thank you for investing in my vision, purpose, and calling. And I look forward to having you back again. I know you and I met I don't even remember how many years ago we met at an event. And even though we don't speak as regularly as we ought to, you are always so good at calling me up. And I want to thank you for that, for not giving up on me. Because out of the blue, you'll call or you'll shoot me an email just to find out how I'm doing. And I want to thank you for that.
It's my pleasure, Daphne. And I know we're almost running out of time, but I also want to encourage anyone, if you know of anyone else who might be able to use this information and could use my help, which I would gladly provide, if they contact me by the means that I provided, you know, please do so. Again, we're also in the business of helping each other and creating that network in which we'd all grow both spiritually, physically, and hopefully financially. So
yeah,
I would appreciate referrals.
One of the good ways for you to do that is to go to the bulletin board that was announced, because everyone from all my networks, that's where they are pointed to go. So once, even if they don't listen to the show and they come in to my bulletin board from Twitter, by you putting the information there, they are going to get access to that as well. So again, I want to thank you, Dr. Calvera, for so eloquently investing in my vision and calling and purpose. And for those of you who are listening on the internet and for those of you who join us in the chat room, I want to thank you for my friend and colleague, Dr. Sherrod Cutlot of Canada. Thank you, my sister, for staying with us for the duration of the show. And I know that this is valued information that we got here this morning. Again, Dr. Caldera, I thank you for coming. And for those of you who are listening, whether you're listening, you listened live, or you're listening on the archive, this is good information to help you to follow through on your destiny and calling that you were intended for. Stay blessed and stay focused. Love you.
Thank you.
My destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this thing. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came.